So Seffy, dude, like moving forward, right? Like, if we're truly going into, like, some people are saying we're gonna move into a decade of commodities, or rather, not that, but like a time period where only hard assets are gonna appreciate. But you know, we were in QE and ZERP in like the most easiest monetary regime in history for over 10 years. And I feel like we're so crack and meth addicted to that stuff that,
The thing is, Bobby, like there's always this kind of like this narrative, like the demise of America's noise. And the problem I have with that is like a significant portion of the rest of the world is also very much fucked. So it's like there's depopulation happening everywhere. And a lot of places are a lot worse off than the US in this regard. Like you're talking about massive depopulation, China, Russia, Europe, the entire thing is a clusterfuck for so many places. I think, oddly, you might think like, well, the various monetary policies, whatever, it's going to sink the United States. I don't see that at all, man. Like, I see technologies coming out in this country that are going to blow your fucking mind away. and I think most of that hasn't been monetized. So I'm like, I tend to be like a bit more optimistic on the US compared to a lot of other places in the world. And it's all relative, right? It's like, it's like, as long as someone else is suffering and you're not, like, it's relative. And that maintains a power for a country or for a system that you can't fully put your finger on. Like, I think it's a little too early to sort of fade everything. Although we have like a generation of lazy people coming out now that are kind of like highly questionable, but like, with robotics and everything else coming out, I don't know. I think we have a whole nother like generation of interesting shit that's going to happen. So I think the next like 20, 30 years, there's so many technologies coming out that I'm not fully convinced that like it's going to be just a mega economic disaster. But at the same time, like, could you have like a 10-year stagnant like economy and whatnot with commodities rising? No, it's quite possible. It's possible.
I remember at the fucking bottom, bro, and I'll post it on the nest.
But you think like the general economies and whatnot are going to just like soar like in the next few years, like, and back
dude,
to normal?
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, dude, but hold on. Let me cook, man. I have a lot to say, but I remember like when I went to the Apple store in fucking December of last year when ChatGPT was like starting to catch some waves and all that stuff. And like, dude, like crypto participants went from being Uniswap shitcoiners and like, you know, DeFi degens just gambling on the weirdest platforms to like talking about like actually, like you can talk macro, right? Like as a market participant, you should be aware of macro, right? But like, actually believing the fucking thing when macro's been terrible for decades, you're actually going to blow up and shoot yourself in the foot, right? And people which is why I was
buying everything while everyone was talking macro noise. So doom to gloom.
So Seffy, like crypto guys were talking about like, oh, you know, the S&P might just be range bound for a decade, right? Like the last decade. And like to me, I just thought that we're probably just going to go through a faster version of what we went through in the late 70s, right? So, you know, it's been, 2 years since the S&P and the NASDAQ top? And, like, that late 70s period lasted about 4 years. Like 4 to 5 years under Jimmy Carter. And then Reagan came in and then blasted all markets till Valhalla. So I thought that, like, you know, we're probably just going to go through a faster version of that. And like in 2024, markets should be ripping, right? And I think the Russell is probably going to make a new all-time high next year, especially like when we factor in who's going to be president. And like, I think Trump is going to win, right? I've been very public about that.
It's mostly that Russell shit that I bought, by the way. I have this counter thesis that all that shit's going to moon for no reason.
And the reason why I think Trump is going to win is literally because GCR is betting on him to win. That's it. Like, you don't have to like the guy or any shit like that, but
he's right on his balls.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, like, you know, once that guy comes back into office, I think it's either going to be him or I think it's going to be DeSantis. Either one of the two, right? And I think that,
Can we not do politics?
And I think that, like, hold on. You're gonna like what I say.
This is about your bags. It's not about politics.
Yes,
it's about your bags.
Yes. Listen, and hang on. You're gonna like what I say.
It's here. The Trump pump, I think, baby.
Hold on. I think with either one of these two guys, like, I think the Fed is going to be doing like 2 to 3 quarters of QE and ZERP, where they basically take interest rates down to like 1 to 2%, which is effectively zero because of inflation. And they're going to fucking print money out the wazoo. So, like, I don't really care about politics unless it affects my bags, right? So I kind of think that, like, you know, we're probably just finishing what we went through in the late 70s, early 80s, where, like, a new era props up. And this is off of the cusp of, like, Coinbase trying to be the next Apple. And I remember getting laughed at. When I was like talking to like people from the Swan Bitcoin Exchange, which literally used like an insolvent crypto bank.
Dude, those guys are the worst.
Dude, like they were using an insolvent crypto bank that had a lot of their treasury in fucking Audius tokens. And then they want to come to me to talk shit about, like, you know, how I'm viewing the market, right? Like, it's ridiculous, right? And so yeah, it's ridiculous, bro. Like, I'm actually out here in the fucking trenches, bro, trying to make it. But
that guy, the head of Swan's, pretty much their whole business model is like being maxis and basically like shit talking.
Is this Corey?
He's LARPing, dude. He's LARPing because he was behind like the Block One guys, and he was like shilling ICOs like crazy. In 2018 and 2019, and he profited massively off of that. And that's why I think that, like this is probably going to be your last easy cycle, in my opinion, because, like, there's probably going to be a lot of mining companies that are going to be subpoenaed because of, like, some securities fraud and all that shit. And when you think about, like, the Howey test and all of that, like, if you're a Bitcoin miner, you're expecting some kind of return, right? So not to get, like, too doomerish here and all that shit, like, with this ordinal stuff, bro, like, there is some risk to a lot of, like, the Bitcoin influencer community and all that stuff. And, like, bro, they're doing the same shit that SBF did. Like, why would you talk to your ops if you're trying to run up your bag, bro? Like, you're out here talking to Gary Gensler and people in the White House, and you're actually committing some sort of fraud, like, legit fraud.
Are they like, trying to get, like, ordinal stopped? Is that what you're referencing?
I mean, I think...
Yeah, they're getting Gary Gensler's going to stop ordinals.
I think Gary is just going to, like, find a lot of these, like, figureheads that are like, selling some of these assets. So I'm not saying, like, he's going to stop ordinals. I don't think that's even possible. But
is this what this, like, Eric Wall, like, refunding... Taproot Wizards shit is all about? Like, what is the TLDR on this? I don't understand. I don't follow that ordinal shit.
This is basically... the same thing from earlier, like the inscriptions on, so that Ordi coin and that the Stack coin are both ordinal coins, which are based on like inscriptions on the Bitcoin chain.
And track also, but it's not necessarily like stopping them or all that shit, but if you look at like the 2018 bear market, all those ICOs either went to zero because they had to give all their runway because they got slapped on the wrist with heavy fines, or they paid their fines like EOS and they just never came back, right? And I feel that with each bear market and bull market, the noise just gets like higher and higher and higher. And I feel that, like, as good as the bull market is, right, like, once you start seeing like multiple Twitter spaces of like, you know, thousands of people in the audience, once you start seeing YouTube live streams with tens of thousands of viewers and all that shit, once you start seeing like the TikTokers saying how like they're putting up ordinals as collateral on like some weird
to buy a house
wrap solution and all that stuff, dude, like, you need to run away, bro. You need to run away. and like I am grateful for being here today and talking with all of you. So I did want to ask you a question, Seffy. Like, mm-hmm. like do you think with companies like a Coinbase, right? Like after this cycle, right? Like wherever they bottom, right? Because I mean, eventually MicroStrategy and Coinbase are going to go through like an actual bear market, right? Which, you know, who knows when that is, right? Let's not speculate on that. But do you feel that like, you know, these companies might pay out like heavy dividends like an Apple, right? And I know Coinbase, like their whole business model is basically... So
do you use Coinbase at all or no?
I'll be honest, bro. Like it's only good as an off ramp. I'll be frank. Yeah. Man.
So
yeah,
they had terrible fees. They were not competitive so on fees, is, like compared to Binance.
The issue with Coinbase basically is like, so they have two businesses. They have basically the OTC market and like custodial shit. And I don't know how much they make there in fees and whatever. And then they have the fees that they make on crypto and such. What they have done is they've ramped up the fees big time, which I guess probably they should have done in the first place a long time ago, because people got used to sort of super low fees and whatever. And there's certain like a cost to like adding a bunch of tokens and this and that. Like it's an expensive sort of like maintenance thing. But I don't know. Like I'm not sure like what they're how much they're going to be making. Like people bid up the Coinbase stock, but are they actually going to be making the type of profitability that like deserves like wild high PDE ratios? That's a different thing. Cause that, remember we said this earlier today, and that is like utility is what defines the top. And in stocks, like PDE ratios tend to be like a description of that utility, essentially. Like the company makes X amount of money. Why are they valued so wildly high? You know, so like you can get away with high ratios for a while, but like, yeah, there's kind of a ceiling for Coinbase stock for sure. And I
think
I don't
it's going to be one trillion market cap.
You think it's going to go to that size at some point in the future, huh?
Yeah, and the premise off of that is...
Why? Like, it's just like the so gambling success of crypto.
No. I mean, to be honest, like betting against crypto is essentially like betting that the nation and the overall population is going to get smarter. And that's not the truth, right? Like on a higher time frame, right? Like a decade by decade basis, like we're actually getting dumber. Like we're sacrificing our motor skills. We're sacrificing our ability to think critically, and we're sacrificing it to the kingdom of iron and clay, which is essentially AI. Right. And although like some people are going to be using AI more than others, like I use AI for a fuck ton of things, bro. But the majority of the people that are going to use AI, it's kind of like gaming, right? Like when you game, all you're doing is feeding your body consistent dopamine, and you get drunk on dopamine. And when you get drunk on dopamine, like your ability to actually articulate thought goes down the drain, right?
Yeah,
because yeah. You're basically like you're being spoon-fed emotions, right? Like right. Same thing with watching movies. Like you're being spoon-fed fear.
Well,
you're being
the broader thing, this is what I talk about a lot, is like tech has clearly caused depopulation. People don't have children, basically.
Yeah. Look at Japan. Yep. Dude, look at Japan.
Everywhere.
Like,
everywhere.
Like in Japan, there are actually certain places in Japan that will pay you to actually like inhabit the place. But it's some freaky.
That's
it's
a
some
thing.
Freaky. Yeah. And it's freaky because like in Japan, there's this pandemic called Hikikomori. It's people that basically never go out. And they actually die from loneliness. And so, like, these houses, these apartments are just, like, vacant. And they'll just let anybody – I mean, not let anybody. They'll do a background check. But, like, you can basically get paid to live there. But the cost of that is, like, you have to learn Japanese. And, like, you have to teach other people – how to speak English, right? Like, nothing is actually for free. It's still like Japan is still like the front runner and pioneer of all things innovation, especially tech, right? Like, Japan's tech system, especially when it comes to like transportation and infrastructure, destroys America. Like, if you look at, you know, Japan travel vlogs and even China travel vlogs, America is still in prehistoric times. And that's why, like my base case is that America is never going back to hard assets. Like, it's never going back to, like, we're just going to invest in commodities and Bitcoin is we the can't. New commodity. Like, dude, fuck no, bro. You want to know what,
like, first off, by the way, like, in China and Japan, like, Japan is really small. And China, the difference is that, like,
a bunch
you'll see a few cities that are pretty, but a lot of shitty cities too. So it's not like, automatically like everything's slum. Roses. But Steffi, like in, if you, the US has like, we can't, because we have two oceans, like we're in pretty good shape as far as resources.
Steffi, but where I was getting at is like, you want to know what the future of America looks like, bro? It's Cathie Wood becoming the next Warren Buffett. Right. Warren Buffett made his bag off of industrials and fundamentals. Right. In the 50s, 60s and 70s, Warren Buffett was the man. Right. And if you take a look at like what rallied post World War II up until the 70s, when the NASDAQ ETF was incepted, it was mostly industrials, and Warren Buffett fucking killed it, bro. And Warren Buffett was a gambler too, bro. He bought a lot of call options and all that stuff, dude. And he used a ton of leverage. That's the way to, like, you know, get your kickstart, right? But again, like, you blow up at least one time when you go that route, right? And so where I'm getting at is, like, you know, if America's never going back to hard assets like we did in the 70s, and we're just going, you know, into these mini super cycles of bear markets and bull markets, eventually, like, the market is just gonna fucking rip. Like, the S&P and the NASDAQ are basically a sneeze away from all-time highs, but it's only led off of seven stocks, right? The Magnificent Seven. And I feel that, like, once these stocks you know, keep rallying and the indices make an all-time high and Fed announces their pause, all these growth stocks, bro, like, you know, ARK Invest ETF and all that stuff, they're going to be making all-time highs. Tesla, all-time high. They're going to Coinbase, all-time high, right? Coinbase has never traded above its opening IPO price, right? It's still down like 60%, 70% from its opening price. And so, you know, once like the floodgates are open, bro, the fucking pump, bro, the pump, the face melting pump is going to cream pie pretty much every person that's bearish. And like, there's this small time.
And now you see why I bought everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, you know, when we look at like the average bull market, right. And, you know, bull market is basically, you know, once you break an all time high, right. Like the average bull market for equity land, like for the, like traditionals, right? Like it has, the S&P and the indices have to break all-time high, right? That's just the way it's always been. And usually when you see that happen, that's when the floodgates open. And then like you can actually gamble on the options market, which like I don't recommend anybody to do, right? And like, you know, if we look at the data that says like, you know, the average bull market is almost 4 years, and say like we break out in like Q1 of next year, which is my base case, then you basically have like that last window of opportunity to go for the face ripper, because eventually like the reaper comes to collect its debt, and you know there's going to be a correction, but like first and foremost it's getting positioned before the floodgates open, because there's a lot of money to be made. And most of these gains don't happen until like late stage cycle, right? And just take a look at like Luna and Sol and AVAX and Phantom, right? Like you could have bought in those in the summer of 2021 and be up like 10 to 15X, right? Same thing with like NFTs and all that stuff. And I actually think that NFTs are going to be like the one asset class that outperform everything. And I think that like no, the true bull market has started, and you've been seeing that, right? Like bonds and all that shit bottomed last month with TLT. IWM bottomed last month. Bitcoin led off of the bottom last month. I think it was like on October 20th. Like we touched like 26K, 27K like one last time. ETH BTC bottomed on that time period as well. And so I think that like it's better to be blindly optimistic, man, at this point.
Speaking of which, Carlson is looking.
Carlson. Carlson, I was trying to get a word out. Carlson. It's time you can dunk.
You want me to tweet about Carlson, bro? You want me to tweet about Carlson?
You might.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty high risk, dude, but it's your call.
No, it's not a, I mean, it's a moon bag or just a few dollars for fun kind of a thing. It's not anything we really want to promote. It's an
asymmetric, you know, you might tweet. if you tweet and you're right, it'll be pretty cool, but there's a good chance you're wrong. So, you know, your call. I'm not a social media.
I just wanted to tell Seffy bought earlier at like 6.5 cents and then it immediately dropped in half.
Right, the hash rate is impressive for one day or well, like 11 days or whatever it's been out. So I would say like,
it sounds like,
it looks like a probably secure network. And it's basically like Caspa crowd that is involved that knows about this thing. So like the thesis was like, well, I mean, the odds are these little Caspa forks, and this is a GPU ones because like some of the crowd that did Caspa is not happy with the ASIC part of it. They'd rather be like CPU mined or GPU. So you get more decentralization. And, so this is like the GPU mined version of this. And so like, I think a lot of the people that were ETH mining before Wabi, you know, like the GPU crowd, like I think they have like a bunch of GPUs and they don't know what to do with them. So like everyone's itching for some half decent GPU coin, and like the Caspa narrative just sort of drives this. I think that's
it's kind of like the left curve of Caspa too. Like if you were late and you tried to get in on mining Caspa and like you pretty much like started running at a loss essentially, like this is what you're going to turn on instead.
Isn't Tara like the late stage kind of thing? Like, oh, I missed out on Caspa. Let me buy some Tara.
Is that the other, I don't know. Someone mentioned there was like another fork or something, but that had some kind of issue.
That is
this one. Like I don't honestly care about the fork.
The thing with derivatives and forks, bro, it's kind of like an ice cream, right? Like, do you want, you know, like your Haagen-Dazs like freshly scooped, right? Or actually no. Like, do you want your ice cream from like an Irish farm and it's like organic and all that stuff, and it's blessed and all that? Or do you want some like grocery store brand frozen thing that's just a bunch of like dextrose and sugar?
I see your point, but I have the counterpoint: is which one makes more money in an industry? It's the cheap ass milk. It's the cheap ass milk that all the broke people have to buy.
But
not happy when you're early. You get like 16 gallons of that shit too. Instead of just like
what I'm saying. Hold on. But what I'm saying here is like,
well, I remember this is like 5 hours old. So that's the difference here.
Oh, yeah.
The freshest milk you could buy.
Okay.
The freshest milk from the cow, like right now. Yeah.
And you get the most you're ever going to get.
Straight from the teeth. No, it could totally go to zero. This is just for fun. But honestly, like where the market is, it's probably unlikely. Unless it like it would have to have some kind of rug involved. That's possible.
Wait, yeah, what are the proof of work rugs? Like, how does that work?
It would have to be like a pre-mine, or like someone would have had to literally like store all their coins and like try to like kill it by dumping them all. It's not very likely.
It sounds like there was a pre-mine for the team. And so some people are a little upset about that. Like they've been mining for like 3 weeks, but then everyone else has only been mining for 10 days. But it's not a huge pre-mine. It's like, well, it's like 1% or something.
Yeah.
But they're from now on out, everyone else is coming online.
It's a dev fund, though. They ended up putting it into like a fund, into a wallet, so that everybody can see it, and then they're calling it they're going to say the community can vote on how it's going to be used.
And is that any worse than
that? I just saw that
any Cosmos coin that we buy that has like a 15% team allocation, like right out of the gates.
What is more concerning is that they could have mined. They could have mined in the beginning with the GPUs, like anybody else. Like anybody can set up a computer right now and start mining. And right now, like every GPU is very profitable. Like these things are making like $12 a GPU right now.
So like the selling pressure can be high right now, is what you mean?
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, yes and no. Like if as long as the demand is, if the Caspa shit keeps pumping it, then like.
Okay,
it's easy to outpace that. There's only 2% of the supply mined right now. So like their supply shock can happen real fast, especially if it's at one exchange. I think the biggest risk right now is Trade Ogre, because they're small and they can paper trade this shit, you know, like they might not have as much as they sell. That's what we gotta figure out.
They DM'd me back within like 5 minutes earlier. That was kind of cool. He seemed like a nice customer service person.
Well, and I'm not saying that they're going to do that. I'm just saying that that's a potential risk as far as.
I took out my initial, boys. Took out my initial. I can let this ride now.
Yeah, you're lucky, dude. I was literally trying to swap Adam when that entry happened. I was like, God damn it. And it was gone.
Does anybody here know why Aurora pumped from 15 cents to 70 cents today? Like, is this just like full-blown degeneracy? Like, I even see
people are literally just looking for those options. Like, I think we're hitting that point of the market where people just look for laggers.
What hasn't pumped yet? Basically, that was pumped, last night. Everyone was looking at Adam for that.
Yeah, that's why everyone's looking at Adam. Kaleo even tweeted about fucking Adam.
Oh gosh, man, when Kaleo tweets about Adam, bro, you know it's.
I was like, oh shit,
fucking Adam, bro, dude. If you look at like whenever he tweets about Adam, it's usually either like we're either about to giga send or we're either about to like giga nuke. Adam is just one of those tokens, and I'm hoping it's the
first. I don't know how it could nuke at this point unless Jay literally like dumps it. That would be fucking hilarious.
So what's like the future of Adam? Because like Celestia could just replace it. To be honest, man, like Adam is.
Nobody really uses it for like any kind of like serious like bridge function. What everyone uses it for is simply collateral. So like, there's so many places that you can use as collateral, and it will most likely be available as like collateral on almost every single chain, whether it's Say or whatever else, right? So like, it's gonna have value. Like, so it's. I think it's bottomed out pretty nicely. So the odds are more upside than downside. But the question is like, where does it go from here? Does it like get hit back to all time highs, or does it peter out somewhere? Nobody knows. Right. But I think it's got its second bottom. And also like the other thing is, remember, we're in a bullish market. Everything catches a bid. Remember that. So it's like, it doesn't matter what it is. So like, certainly whether you like it,
you
or
know,
not,
what's, you know, what's wild.
You don't want to sell it now. Like it's too late.
Yeah.
You know what's wild, Seffy? Like, I remember a couple of months ago, like when Luna was like below 50 cents, and I remember seeing it at 30 cents, and like, I'm like, damn, bro. I remember like when I first bought Luna in 2020, it was like literally at 33 cents, dude. And like, when I saw 33 cents on Luna, I'm like, wow. Like, what if this thing actually goes back to $100? And I do not know what the future of like Luna V2 is, bro. But like what I said earlier about like,
well, Luna is making its way to its third fib retracement now, which like puts it on the same level as Link in terms of like recovery. It's definitely doing better than a variety of other coins that have only. A lot of other coins only made it back to like one fib retracement, like for example, E-Gold and some others. So Luna's already outperforming a lot of shit. So it's going to be the hate trade, probably. I think Slinks was calling it that.
100%. 100%. That is actually the hated rally, because I would hate it too.
Everyone's going to be like, oh shit, like these stupid lunatics, they're doing it again. You know what I mean? Like that's going to be. And you know the Luna crowd is going to go absolutely fucking apeshit when Luna goes up.
The Luna crowd, dude, like. Dude, hands down, dude, like, that is the biggest source of alpha that I've had.
The biggest cartel that there ever was is, like, the Luna shilling crowd.
Look at Caspa. Look at Caspa, bro. Funny. Caspa was, like, the Luna community after they ran a bag on Lunk, right? And then take a look at freaking Rune, right? And at the stone cold bottom too, at like under a buck, right? And like, it's sort of like history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And I remember like XRP was the hated rally in 2016, 2017, right? And then Chainlink was the hated rally in 2020. And then in 2021, it was Solana that was the hated rally. And then in 2023, it's Solana again. And now it's like, I'm saying Luna pump, I'm saying AVAX pump. And I honestly like,
To me this season, like, I'm heavier Link because I think it's like it's mature to the point where it is the like highest utility rally. Like, it could have its ETH moment for sure, like just completely go bonkers. And so like, that's why, like, and not only that, but it's shown that it can't go to zero just yet. Like, the odds,
I guess,
are
the only reason the thing about Link though is sorry,
but
just.
But I feel like with a large bag grin, like my bag is safe there. So like, I'm comfortable with a much more outsized position. So it's not like going into Zephyr or something where you can put a few here and there.
No, this is one of those cases where like you're looking for a bit of stability, but also a bit of like additional price, you know, that you would probably better price action than you might get from being in Ethereum or something like that. But I guess the difference to me is, I think the difference, it's definitely not in the bank. I think the difference for me is like people could mess around on Ethereum and do stuff on Ethereum, just like people could mess around on Luna and do stuff on Luna. But like, I can't take a bag of Link and have fun with it.
Right.
And no, you're right. Lose it. Like, that's the problem.
You don't get the layer one conversations and network effects from that, like all the dApps and stuff.
Yeah. Nor do you get to go like play video games with it, like you do with some of the gaming tokens, or get yield from like do different yield farms like you can with some of the like Astroport tokens and stuff like that. Like,
the difference on Link is they have so many like big corporate sort of like things happening that it's just a constant source of news, like, over the months and months and months that follow. And I think like that's the reason why I'm more bullish on that, because remember, like, this stuff runs on news and narratives, and the more interesting news and shit. And then like the other thing too is the Chainlink account, you know, the Twitter account is posting way more than I recall they ever did historically. And like, they just keep on posting one thing after the other. And it just kind of creates a Twitter saturation effect to some extent. And I think that matters. Like, they're getting that better and like right this time. Whereas previously they didn't really like tout their benefits or like their like innovations and partnerships and shit like that. So it seems like they're on the ball this time to me. I don't know.
So price action on Luna has been great. Say has done pretty well recently. Injective led a big rally kind of during the end of the bear market and beginning of bull market, popped up a lot. And I think that was because of the investments and stuff happening. I don't know much about Neutron, but like, the one thing maybe I did right was stack Astroport during bear. Like, whenever I could, I stacked Astroport as all the way down. And I still think that like, if Cosmos does anything, then if Luna gets successful, if Say gets successful, even Injective, because there's a deployment there, I feel like Astroport is like a good way to kind of get something from all of those without having to be in all those ecosystems.
Astroport's like the leverage bet on Luna, basically. Because it's
the leverage
bet
on Luna, but also on Cosmos. Like, it's still very small. When you look at the market cap of Astroport versus the market cap of Osmosis, and you look at the volume on Astroport, it's like about half of the volume on Osmosis. But Osmosis market cap is like 4 or 5 times larger.
There's something about DEXs that, like, I don't know. It always seems like a money sink, and they never actually make. A lot of them don't make much money, and they sort of give away the service and almost for free in a sense. It like a nice DEX benefits the L1, but I don't know. DEX tokens always make me very nervous, and I always go in very small with those. Like, if I'm going to even bother personally, now I could be wrong in pumps, but my point is like I'm always nervous about them.
I think that like a lot of the tokens that are doing like DEX service, like set like a centralized exchange like experience, you know, like we saw Unibot pump and all that stuff. I think Telegram bots are not really the wave, but I think just like a simple web interface. And then, I mean, I'm basically what I'm doing is I'm shilling one of my bags right now, and it's called Token Site. And I got in it from the like ground floor, and the thing has ripped so hard. But
like, it's a DEX where on Ethereum or something?
Yeah, well, it's an Ethereum. It's not quite a DEX. It just is a toolkit, basically. So it does MEV, and it does account abstraction. Are you familiar with account abstraction on Ethereum?
A little bit, yeah.
So basically, it's a kind of a privacy feature that helps with front running or wallet tracking and stuff like that. So, you know, it's good when, you know, a lot of these coins are pumping. You can get front run, but not only that, you can get you know, followed into coins and stuff like that. And so it's good to have that privacy there. And so it goes along with my privacy narrative that I have for like a lot of my bags right now. But it's essentially, it's trying to create like a Binance-like experience on chain. So it's just a liquidity aggregator for all these DEXs.
Okay.
DEX aggregator. But then on top of that does a lot of tooling too. So charting service, account abstraction, wallet management.
There's something very similar like in the Terra ecosystem called TFM.com, which is a very similar thing. DEX aggregator, a bunch of tools and like whatever. Yeah, it's pretty cool. These things are usually pretty good. I'm not really sure how much the tokens for these things are worth, but you know, go figure.
This one's got revenue sharing, so it's like built-in revenue sharing for token holders. So that's what I like about it.
I haven't run into Mr. Mohawk here in a long time. What you up to, man? Like, you been good?
Yeah, man.
What are you up to?
Good day. Finally, we had a little bit of a crisis over summer as I'm an insurance agent. And yeah, man, it's been like, I'm sure that everyone has. Well, we just had a bunch of non-renewals for some commercial policies that we were in charge of, and everyone's premiums are going up, and Nationwide kind of fucked us. So it took six.
Oh, so in your real life around and issues.
Yeah. We're back. We're good. We're back. Just in time for market taking off.
Cool. It's good to have you back. I haven't seen you in a while. It's fun. We've been hanging out like for the last few days because like there's all sorts of interesting coins that have been coming out and like brand new stuff. And like we've been just sort of checking out one by one, like all sorts of new like stuff that haven't had price discovery yet. So it's like, you know, like a couple of them that we've been covering today is like, one is Zephyr, which is really sweet. It's basically a Monero fork with a little splash of stablecoin. It's pretty cool. Like we had to, you know, go find it in the far corners of like MEXC somewhere. And then like another one we found today, like Up mentioned, KLS or like, it's, I can't even remember the name at the time. It's that annoying of a name. Anyway, and this thing like is an interesting Caspa fork, but uses GPU mining instead. And I don't know, it just came out today, like hours ago, like 6 hours ago. That's on tradeogre.com, TRADEOGRE. So we're just like checking out these completely degen brand new things and splashing a little.
Someone's gonna mine it though, Sophie. You should try to mine Carlson.
Ooh, yeah, maybe I should get like a computer that's more GPU mining.
Oh, yeah, did you? Yeah, I guess you probably didn't get a graphics.
Well, my kid wanted like a gaming computer anyway, so it's like like maybe I just build one with a decent GPU, and then when he wants to play with, he plays with it. The rest of the time, we just mine with it.
That's actually not a bad idea. But no, I saw that you got a mining rig for this Zephyr.
Uh huh. And that it's been working well.
Picked some up the other day, so.
Oh, cool.
I'd like to thank you for getting me back into Web3 with a bang.
Well, good. Did you get in kind of early or like went late or what?
No, I think it was 30 some bucks when I got it the other.
I think my average now is like around probably like 25. So,
okay.
So, because I've been picking up these bottoms, I added some extra because I got some more conviction, and like the privacy part adds a lot of help utility, I think. And I figured I'd want to have more of it if it goes up. So I just kind of like put a little bit more outsize than I normally would for something this small. I'd say this is kind of like more than I put into something this small in a while. for full disclosure. So like, I think that it's really useful if it goes up in value. And so like that utility is worth it to me. So it's like one of those like really like Steph, I'm going to use it for its actual utility kind of situations.
Steffi, let me ask you a question, since like you were talking about fib retracements and all that stuff, right? So if we go by fibs and all that stuff, we look at the previous like rally before the halving, right? Like we went from 3,100 to 13.8K. And if we replicate the same move based on fib extension, then the top, right, the top for the Bitcoin price should be about, you know, 48.3, 48.2, which is basically like the top that we formed on March 30th of last year when Jerome Powell stopped QE and Luna peaked at $119 and change. So are you looking at that in the immediate short term?
Let me look real quick. Let me make sure that everything's charted correctly because I've had my little thing. Yeah, I think so. All right, all the lines are on there. So for BTC, if you use the top.
Yeah. There will be a pullback. Pretty nasty one too.
Yeah, but think about it. So the way I draw it, old school, like long-term sort of BTC theory, like you'd use the very long swings. So that would be the retracement extension. Like I'm drawing from the 3,800 like COVID bottom to the very top of the bull market. That derives my lines. Why do I do that? Because like that's all ancient history and is not going to be changed. And we know those swings are real, because they materialized over a period of years, right? So using that kind of concept, the actual major resistance was 37,200. And you'll notice that like the price stopped exactly at that spot. So this is how like...
Can you say that price again?
Okay, so the bottom the bottom of the like swing for the fib retracement starts at 38.50. which is the COVID bottom. The top is 69,000, and 37,200 is the like highest resistance fib location on that long-term chart. And I've had the same exact fib drawing for like the last 2 years. I have not changed a thing on it. And when we reached 37.2, you'll notice that there was like a protracted time of like trading action around that, and it like clear resistance there. And every fib line has been hit pretty much to the T on the way down and on the way up using this sort of strategy. And the next level after BTC passed 69K again is 151,000. And BTC almost always reaches its fib extension. So I would say if you're a BTC holder, like I would expect in this bull market at least one extension above the previous high, and that would put you at 150K. That's sort of my number. We'll see if that kind of plays out, but I suspect it will. It always, this has always worked in the past.
Yeah.
Always.
So basically, it's not
worked, which is funny.
Yeah. So basically a 2x or almost a 2x off of an all time high with inflation adjusted. Inflation adjusted Bitcoin price, we would actually have to eclipse 85K. We pretty much came out of an inflationary cycle in January of this year, or like December, right? But it was basically like an enormous inflationary cycle, and so we have to take that into account if we want to be like real about like euphoria and all that shit. So I think now it's just a matter of context and like how we get there, right? Like, is it a more slowing gradual cycle, which is my base case, where we replicate 2016 to 2017, where it's a lot cleaner, or do we get there like in a swift parabola, like we did last cycle? But in context, is very important, because when we rallied from 10K to 42K months, like the amount of liquidity injected into the system and money given out, like those 3 months, dude, were the most vicious in that entire QE cycle, right? Like, you were going into an election, you basically had like two stimulus checks go out, plus PPP was like, the whole PPP loan was going absolutely astronomical coming out of the summertime, right? So I guess the context matters, and I guess you can make an argument that we won't really be experiencing the swift parabola that we experienced at the 2020-2021 cycle. Yeah.
But so rather, time wise, how long does it take to get to 150? That could be a while.
Yeah.
Like 2020.
I think people,
like early 2026 kind of stuff, dude. Like, especially like when you look at
wreck, man.
Yeah. And that too, right? Like almost
everybody. Your mic or whatever is cutting in and out a bit. It's hard to hear you.
Can you hear me now? Am I good?
I think you're having a hard time hearing us sometimes too. It's like cutting out a little bit here and there. Grin, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, it's just that people are wrecked right now. They don't have a lot of discretionary like income. Everybody's redlining, I believe. Like, a majority of America is redlining, unless they're boomers on retirement and they can sell their house for a cheaper one or something like that. Like, it's not a good time for people right now. And I don't know if that means people are going to be more willing to gamble with what little they have and throw into the markets, or if they're going to be sidelined and the market's going to go up real slow and it really is going to be, it really is going to be like the institutions that bid up cryptocurrencies if it's going to happen. Because
it's about what are Bitcoin whales willing to sell at a specific price? It's not so much like automatically how much retail investment comes in at this stage, because you're only talking about going up one fib, not going up multiple like in the past. So 150 is a somewhat conservative target, and doesn't represent like a dramatic multiple, because you know there's a lot of stocks in the stock market that are at these 1 trillion levels, so it's not impossible to get to these levels at all. And
no, it's not impossible. I was just wondering if it's something that most of retail is even going to be able to play in, because they might want to.
I think in 2025, right, that's going to be when retail comes in. I just don't see Bitcoin and like more like the broader cryptocurrency market reaching significant highs or coming close to them. Like, if you look at Total 3, right, which is everything outside of BTC and ETH, brother, we have a long way to go, right? A long way to go. I think Bitcoin price kind of a psyop, where like, you know, Bitcoin and ETH are not far from their all-time high, but you know, just take a look at the rest of the other tokens, right? They're demolished, right? With the exception of a few narratives and outliers. But that is like, I think in 2025 we're going to be getting 2 to 3 quarters of QE ZERP. And you know, if you just take a look at like how badly, like you were talking about consumers and all that stuff, like I would agree with you, bro. Like, people are paying damn near, you know, 10% for their homes. They're getting crushed on all the debt that they have that's aged. And so I think that like, there's probably going to be some new injection into the system. And I think that like the old guard, right, like the old system that we're used to is coming at an end next year. And I think that like people like an Elon Musk are going to have a pretty massive influence on the way this election cycle is going to go. Like, I honestly think that like there's going to be a presidential debate on Spaces. And it's going to be insane. But and what I mean by like Spaces, I mean like it's probably just going to be live streamed on X and not really like a Spaces like we're clicking mute buttons and all that shit, right? But I just think that like a lot of eyes are going to be on, and a lot of like the younger tech guys like your Elons are going to be very vocal. And you know, instead of like, you know, like a Taylor Swift you know, dictating, you know, what noise should be done going into the election, like in 2020, right, with all that chaos, I think people are actually going to be concerned with getting diluted out of everyday activities like going to the grocery store. So I think like economics, right, and monetary policy are going to be at the forefront of next year. And I think that's pretty bullish crypto, because
do you think that yeah. the younger generation that has been so far the thing that they care about most in the world seems to be like inventing new genders and gender changes seems to be the number one issue for like the rising generation. Do you think that they're fed up enough about like how bad work life sucks when you can't afford anything you want that they're actually going to care about economics? Have they reached that breaking point where they're ready to depart again to go survival level?
To be honest, bro, like when it comes to like that topic and like those circles, I don't really focus on that, dude. I just take a look at like the broader consensus, and the broader consensus is like, all right, what the fuck are they doing? You know, with like our money supply, like how do I actually preserve my wealth? How do I increase my purchasing power? How can I learn about money? Right. Like, I think this decade is the roaring 20s about like figuring out the future of money. Right. Like, you should read this book by Andreas Antonopoulos called The Internet of Money. Right. And I think that like now that everything has become so gamified and so digitized, I think at some point, like, you know, these small like inconveniences with like societal norms and what's accepted and what's not, like at this point, dude, people are just like worried about like, if I get fired from my job, will I be able to pay rent this month? Am I going to be evicted? Am I going to be homeless? I think economy is going to be a massive, 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 massive influence moving forward from 2024 until like 2027. I think that like that same wave
influence on what do you mean? Like, obviously everyone's gonna be concerned about these things, but like influence that like that's gonna drive the crypto market in the positive direction for some reason, or what?
I think just like broader markets overall, because like when you have gold, right? Gold made a new all-time high for the first time in who knows how long, right? Like an actual breakout, right? Like an actual breakout with volume, right? And usually like when you have these things happen, right, the last time that this happened I think was in like 2011 or like late 2010, right around there. And when that happened, the stock market just like went way up, and then after that, like, you had all of these platforms that came out which, you know, helped grow GDP by an extreme amount, added to the economy like the ways we've never seen before since the 90s, right? And so I think that, like, you know, if history is any indication, then, you know, this cycle, right, is going to be all about, like, you know, preserving our money, right? And if you look at what occurred during, like, the 2008 election, and again, I was, like, I mean, I didn't even have a beard, right? I was a kid. But, like, just going back and, like, seeing, I mean, Sefa, you were around back then, but where I'm getting at is like during that year, that election cycle, people were worried about like, is the banking system going to collapse? Like, you know, am I going to be evicted out of my home? Am I about to lose everything? Right. And so if you look at, you know, what's happened this year, right, like in a business cycle, you usually have like froth get destroyed, right? And, you know, I mean, dude, a bunch of froth in the crypto market got destroyed. Everybody knows about that. Silicon Valley Bank, and of course Silvergate and all that stuff. But usually when that happens, there tends to be like one more event, and it'll probably happen like next year, I think, when like the Fed has to cut interest rates, probably second half of 2024. And I think like at that point, like it's going to be like, it's going to have like that same consensus, like the next guy that we bring in, right, like the next step is like, you know, move on to a new system. And the system that was implemented at that time frame was QE and ZERP. And I think the same thing is probably going to happen. And everyone's just going to be like rallying around and trying to like, you know, protect their purchasing power and not get diluted again by another, you know, 25 to 30%. So it's not so much of like, you know, is this like selectorized group of society going to be included or not? It's more like everybody, right? Like the common problem that people have across the world isn't really like fitting in or anything. it just comes down to their nature, right? Like, we're becoming a lot more primal in that sense. I want to pay my rent. I want to eat my food, right? Yeah. I don't want to be hungry. So I think that, like,
yeah, that's where I'm wondering is whether yeah. like social and identity issues are going to take a back burner because we are all like, people are really struggling to make it by. Yeah. I wonder if that's going to be enough for the parties to refocus.
The identity issues were just largely just the usual nonsense. Like, there's always something like that shows up every few years. Like, most of that, like, nobody actually gives a shit about except the few people on TV to talk about it. Like, nobody gives loudest, a flying though. Fuck. Like,
there's a silent group.
Nobody cares.
Is there a silent group of younger people who will show up at the polls because they're worried about the economics of the country and they want to, and then they'll be driven to make a decision on who's going to run better business and has a better chance of economic recovery? That's what I'm wondering. Because it's not the way that things that seem to be running, like, that's not what the politicians right now seem to be focusing on very much. You know what I mean? It's not what the people online, when they talk about politics on the left, they're not talking about economics very much.
I think that would be, you know, more of a pessimistic way to view about it, right? And the social capital kind of point, right? Like, sentiment and all that stuff. And I feel like, you know, with the new regime, because I do think we're going to enter like a new system, right? Like, I truly believe this also has to do with like some astrology kind of thing. Like, there's some weird event that happens in April. I'm not sure what date, but like, this chick Marin Altman has talked about it before. Yeah. And you know what's crazy, bro? Like, she actually predicted SBF going under and also Do Kwon going under. And when they actually happened, I was like shocked. So I'm not really
I'm not gonna, like, I don't really get much into astrology, but like, I helped to run one of the largest online communities about psychic espionage. And so I'm not gonna, we can just agree to say maybe there's some insight that people can glean. But go ahead.
Yeah. So where I'm getting at is, like, I think some funky stuff is going to happen. And I've said it on a few unrecorded spaces, but I think
the mainland United States needs to get absolutely fucking wrecked. And the reason why is because people have gotten totally fucking lazy. This is a fact of nature right now. And like, the reality is that, you know, you haven't heard a president in a long time say things like, go work hard, go get an education, stop fucking around doing drugs, and like, get your ass together. No one has said this in a long time. Why? Because you can't get elected saying those things. Like, we're basically talking to a nation of imbeciles right now is what the reality is. And until that, like, when I see that paradigm shift where it's like, where there's like a move towards not just like, okay, make America great again, and just say like, you know, to just like make like slogans and shit, but like specific prescription of like how one does that, I haven't heard that in a very long time. And I think
like, do your part,
that happening, I think we are actually seeing like a turning of the tide. Until you see that happen, you know, we're fucked basically. Yeah, it's like, it's gonna just drag on and on and on. Like, but I think the reason it hasn't happened is we haven't had a sufficient enough like crisis in the continental United States, like on mainland territory, where it's like people have to be like jarred into this behavior. It's like, it's that hard times create hard men, you know, like soft times create soft men analogy, like, or whatever that is, that phrase. But that's really true, I think, and we're missing that still. And
What about like in the 1980s, the last time interest rates were anywhere near this high, and they went even higher. I think they were up to like 14% at one point. After those rates relaxed down significantly, when they brought the interest rates back down, instead of the market surging, about a year later, like, there was a crash. And I don't know why that happened. I know the housing market looked a little bit more back in like the early 80s, like it does now, where people can't afford houses, but then housing prices didn't crater either. And so I'm wondering if we're more of a 1980 situation than say like a 2011 situation. And that's what worries me a little bit. And like, there was some opposed to like every economic indicator is like going in different directions. Like, there's no clear path. And, I don't know which way it's going to go. So I am worried to be like all in the market because I might want to have something in my bank account in case we do have a catastrophic crash and we have to buy, and then there's opportunity to buy the bottoms and that again, or whatever the case is. I just am not sure. And I don't think anyone is, because it's we're not following like a clear economic playbook. But people who are through, people who went through the early 80s are foretelling a crash once the interest rates go back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some sort of like dip again is probable sometime in the coming year. But like, the thing is, though, there's a tendency during election you try to avoid that by like putting some bullshit stimulus out there, and like you're basically buying votes essentially. And there tends to be that kind of activity in the election year for whatever reasons.
Yeah. That's what I'm expecting.
It's driven by like a Fed policy change, or just simply like the Congress or whoever voting in some like random stimulus for some random groups, and then like they want to get like spending kind of to pick up again if it goes down too much, especially from the perspective of like affordability of food and stuff for like poor folks. So that tends to sort of drive things a little bit, and that's the reason why like I think there's a like from a crypto perspective, it's like, you know, when the Robin Hood crowd is like in there and they're happy, you're going to see stuff like Dogecoin moving. You're going to see stuff like, you know, various random meme stocks that emerge that just start popping now because that's a thing. And like, you haven't seen that yet, but I do think that like there's a role of like, that's one of the reasons why I held some Doge, is because like, it's like, if like these people showed back up again because of stimulus or whatever, where are they going to go for the casino? They're going to go onto Robinhood and like buy what they know, which tends to be like Dogecoin, stuff like that. And those things will tend to catch a bid if they're stimulus again. And next year would be the time for that to occur if it's going to.
I'm looking at the SPX chart, and like we actually started rallying like crazy shortly after Reagan became president. But it was like the second half of his term where things really, really got cooking. And I do think that like with rates and all that shit, eventually like we have to pay the Reaper. But I think in the short term, dude, I think there's like a potential for a face melting rally. Like I think a situation like
you know, it's funny, Wabi, remember earlier he's like, oh, like I'm not sure what's gonna happen to Adam. Like, yeah. The funniest thing is, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been trickling up now again on the market cap ranking. So other things are falling relative to it now. So I think like the ETH, Atom, the collateral play is coming. Anything that suffices as a sufficient collateral in the crypto space.
Yeah, it goes up. It goes up.
Atom, they're going to like specifically collateral are going to really start like, I think like
hard mooning assets.
When you see the hard assets moon and the money of the cosmos, the money of Ethereum starts to moon, then like the DeFi games begin, where people start like leveraging off of Celestia and going crazy.
And Celestia is the main beneficiary of it. Same thing with Eigenlayer, because it's the new regime, right? And
yeah, so like if you're going to take a leverage bet, like what are you buying, basically?
Yeah, and I think that like. Like shitcoins are all fine, right? And by shitcoins, I mean like things that are just randomly launched on Dex screen. And like if Elon says some funny shit, right? Like I think at some point that's probably going to stop. And like to deploy a smart contract and to interact with it to buy a token, you're probably going to have to use like the back end. Because the front end, right? Like you'll probably have to like KYC or something like that to interact. But even as like a deployer, like imagine if like these DEXs just stopped allowing anybody to deploy on ETH mainnet, something like that, right? Like some weird governance vote passing and all that stuff. Because at the end of the day, dude, like the people who make the rules for our sandbox are the whales, right? All it takes is a few wallets to vote on something for it to pass, and that's it, right? So man, I think like a move for Bitcoin going to like 55K, 58K, and then down to like 33, that would probably be our drawdown for second half of 24, right? If we do have like, if we're actually repeating 2016 again, and we're going through like that cycle, then there should be some sort of like
the other bellwether is like, another way you're going to know what's about to happen is like, particularly like if you look at the link chart, or any coin that is like pulled up to like its third fib level, Link has two more fibs to go, and then you got the magnet to all-time high. If it does this gigantic flagpole between now and February, and it like literally shoots past its all-time high, my suspicion is the entire crypto space absolutely fucking explodes. Like, just completely goes ape shit like 2020 did. I remember when Chainlink sort of led everything else. If the highest, one of the highest utility projects in the space, and the smart isn't doing this, like if the smart money's not coming back, meaning like hedge funds or whoever, and they're not pumping Link, the odds that they're going to be as interested in pumping everything else with high, like with large amounts of capital, I think that becomes really suspicious to me. So to me, like Link is, has been the canary in the coal mine for the utility play, and the utility play, like when it catches a bid, tells me everything else is probably going to moon. So the collaterals and the utility need to go up the same way BTC has. And then all the other shit coins can just get outlandish multiples if that happens, is my theory, Webby. Like, that's the global thesis in my head. Maybe I could be completely wrong.
So Celestia and Eigenli are going to go crazy then. Because, like, they kind of have a sign-off, like, all right, we're going to
They're more utility plays, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, Ponzi's that are going to be built around them, right? Like, a bet on... I keep forgetting.
And by the way, like, it's not to say that like hedge funds and whoever can't buy Celestia and Eigenlayer, they can. But the thing is, like, when you're talking about using gigantic amounts of capital, then like, you know, people tend to go towards the what they consider safe. And if you look at the like, say, top 20, like what has the highest utility play in that whole group, it's going to be pretty much Chainlink, right?
So like. Litecoin are not safe, bro. Litecoin
no, is XRP down. Like, yeah, XRP is not safe. Litecoin at this price is safe, but why would a hedge fund want to buy this?
Dude, Litecoin is down 99% against Ethereum since the top in 2018, bro. That's disgusting.
No, but I'm saying it's safety as in like the it's making higher highs over the years. As a store of value, if one wanted to put some money in Litecoin, you could, the same way as Dogecoin or whatever. It's probably fine. And it's gone through its halving recently. So it's probably not going to go crazy, but it's not one you're going to lose a lot of money on, right? What I'm saying is you mix the concept of a large fund who needs to deploy like $1 billion. What would it deploy $1 billion in? And of that list, like Chainlink is probably the only thing that's out there that has like the TradFi narrative and all that shit going on. And if you see a lot of money coming to that, that means the smart money is playing the game and they're not like shying away this season. Then I think everything else has an opportunity to blow. Cause that just, to me, is just it's the canary for the smart money return. Cause if it doesn't catch a bid and like make it back to all time high quickly as BTC rises, then the entire space should be pretty nervous in my opinion. Like just it means something to me that moons, not just cause it's one of my bags, but like, it needs to demonstrate like smart money's back in the game, is my theory. Like, we'll see.
Yeah,
and smart money meaning smart money at scale, right? Like large amounts of money.
Yeah, but from like you know, comparing this pre-halving year to the last one, we did have some of like the utility plays launch. Like, if you want to consider Injective and Solana. And Optimism as those plays, because dude, Optimism practically went up only for the first half of Q1. Same thing with Injective, same thing with Kanto. Kanto went up like 10x in a straight line.
It's not that those things aren't interesting. I'm just saying, like, if you were to have like a major institution buy something, like, what is that play?
It's probably Celestia.
But it's got to be at scale, though. Yeah. Celestia, if they buy it, there's not enough liquidity. They're going to pump it, right? That's the problem.
They actually have to buy high. That's the thing. Like, they actually have to. Right.
Like, if it's a real institution, they're not going to buy like a new thing. They're going to look for something that they know is relatively safe. Exactly.
I think the thing that has survived the bear markets and has like the highest utility at this point is going to be Chainlink out of the investable possibilities for large scale money.
But if Eigenlayer like goes live, that basically means that like Chainlink will probably lose some of its market share because of their whole thing.
But Wabi, like Eigenlayer, like it's going to take a long time for it to develop all the partnerships and like trust that Chainlink has, right? So it's not to say that it couldn't go up. That's not my point. My point is, if you're going to deploy large scale capital today
on Eigenlayer, like everyone wants to deploy on Eigenlayer. Every new project wants to deploy on there. Everyone on Arbitrum.
But are you going to be able to? Are you going to be able to like invest $1 billion in our Eigenlayer right now?
No. Of course.
And if you're an institution, are you going to like say you're coming into this from like TradFi and you don't know like you don't even know like what Eigenlayer is at all. You're just like, okay, like I want to put money in crypto. Like where should I put it? You know.
But the thing is like. If you're asking that, then you don't know that Ethereum is a yield-bearing asset because, like, the purpose of Eigenlayer, like, the true purpose is basically to maximize Ethereum yield. You know, like, that's...
It can be good.
Like, I don't think these people do know that.
The point is,
I think these people genuinely wouldn't... They wouldn't know that Ethereum has a yield. That's what I mean. Like, these are, like, literally people, like, outside of it.
Can a gigantic institution go and buy Eigenlayer as a token or coin at scale without having like the large scale liquidity? It doesn't, these things aren't there yet for Eigenlayer, right? So like you would have to have that established for an institutional grade like purchase where you don't just cause a gigantic amount of slippage. Institutions only get in one of two ways, Wabi. They'll get in like as some kind of like early investor of some kind. If it's like a VC, you're going to get in as a OTC sale, like if it's some kind of like pre-sale or some shit. Or they're going to get in after there's a tremendous amount of liquidity. They're not in it for the 100x. That's VCs and stuff that do that. Institutions are going to get in when like they think they can have like consistent returns and their number's not going to go to zero, right? Like they don't want to experiment with too many things. It's going to be the same thing as like institutions don't go and buy like penny stocks necessarily every day, right? Same reason. They have to have a certain scale and certain amount of liquidity to make it like for them to get in. And I think to me, like Chainlink is that bellwether. It's like, if that goes up, it tells you that the smart money is like institutional money is coming in. If not, it made me very nervous is all I'm saying. So it's, that's my bellwether play and we'll see how it goes. So far it's been accurate.
If you look at like the investment cap table of Say Network, you know, a lot of institutions are like included, like I think like Andreessen is included into that. And I think when you talk about funds and all that crap, like all those fund managers, their kids are going to be the ones that ape into these things with their smaller like funds, right? And like, you know, there are institutions in crypto that like aren't really well known, right? Like one of the market makers, for example, Kronos Research, they do like billions and billions and billions of volume every day, but like you wouldn't really know that, right? And so I feel that like the institutions have been here for a while, but they started very small. And I think that like, you know, by the time that, you know, these bigger guys get into something like Eigenlayer or Celestia, they're probably going to be buying tokens that are sold off by guys like me and you, right? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the story of Bitcoin is basically like each holder of Bitcoin is just holding it for the next person, right? Like you have the early innovators that bought at $1 and then sold it at $1,000. And you have like that Bitcoin being bought out. On an exchange for like $200, right? So it's like every Bitcoin, every token has its own story and we're just passing the baton to one another, right? But I think like by the time these institutions come in, crypto as you know it will probably look a lot different, right? So might as well have fun for this cycle, right?
And kind of just the maximum like evidence that there's institutions coming in pretty much is all the big like things that Chainlink's connecting to right now, like huge asset groups that they're connecting to for both real world asset and also just kind of like Swift transactions and things. So they're kind of doing what XRP promised at this point. So I think like we'll see. Like I think that there's a lot of interesting news from them, and like that should drive like legitimacy to this, you know, crypto space, which kind of like got rug pulled from us from all the exchanges that got crashed like last couple of years and stuff. So like there's like a what is it called, the redemption arc has to come from some of these players that show that like, okay, there is real world shit being built. And that's a funny thing too, is like anytime like crypto people talk about real world anything, like the moment there is something with real world, they don't buy that thing, which is very funny. Like the high utility stuff, like we said earlier, tends not to be bid up as much by retail users because they don't understand the utility anyway. Like how many people can tell you what Chainlink does? Probably a small handful. Like, you know, and that's why like they don't care about it. Like I think you have more people that can quote the Bitcoin white paper or something than who can tell you what Chainlink does and why it's useful. Can you guys hear me okay? Was this connection good or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Anyway, we've been on a bit. I think we can hop off. I think like yeah, check out these things. Zephyr is interesting. Oh, by the way, the price of it's back down to FIB level. It's like 25 to 27 right now, that area. So if you didn't catch it, like it's made a nice dip at these levels. And I've mostly picked up right here about 27-ish. So if it goes down a bit lower, hopefully I get lucky and some other shit pops and I can like sell something and buy some more. But I've been trying to accumulate Zephyr for the long term, just for the privacy bag. Seems useful. It's useful for me at least. But anyway, check some things out. All right, guys, it's been fun. We'll catch
but
up.
Please, but mm-hmm. Please, I am asking, like, I'm not seeing any marketing, maybe like marketing plan. I'm not seeing any depth accepting the marketing proposal, right? So I'm just asking if, Rick, maybe it is now for a good entry, but I want to buy it, right? I want to buy it now. I want to see a 2x, right? And then I want to JEET. I want to JEET it, right? Because I'm just needing a 2x of my rupee. I'm not needing like trying to get to 4 billion, right? I just need to get the 2x so that I can JEET it.
Incredible.
Good. Wow.
Sounds good.
Wow. Amazing.
You should JEET for sure, my friend.
That was a good closer. Thank you.
Motherfucker screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.